We'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And also Genesis chapter 3 and reading from verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. And Revelation chapter 22. And reading from verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have read from your word this morning, from the first book in your Bible, the book of Genesis, to the last book in your Bible, the book of Revelations. And we can see plainly that you have commanded us to not only to believe every word that you have spoken, but you also commanded us to teach our children to obey all thy words written in the book. And we see that there is a reward for our actions, and there is punishment for our wrong actions. And it all depends on how that we hear and how that we treat the voice of the Lord our God, your voice, O Father. And we have seen this blessing and curse run consistently throughout your Bible, Father. And we know that you give us the energy and the strength to love and to obey your word. And so we ask you, Father, give us that energy and give us that strength, O God. Now we want, Lord, not only to open your word, but we know that it would take your Holy Spirit to reveal to us what your word would say. And so, Father, as we speak from the message which your prophet brought in this hour, we pray that you would help us, Father, not only to believe it, but to fully understand. For we ask it in the name of your eldest Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that name which you gave him by inheritance. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I'd like to continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon called The Masterpiece. And this morning we'll pick up at paragraph 164. And before we read, I want for us to be careful to hear Brother Branham speak of how that we must have all the Word of God, the whole Word of God, as we already read from the scripture references this morning. He says, So the stalk, the tassel, and husk never became seed. No, but are all the time becoming more like the seed. Now at the harvest time, the seed is back to its original life, back to the Bible, Malachi 4. And it would be brought that way. And oh my, we must have all. To be this way, it must have all the word. Is that right? Now, what did he say in Revelation 10 that would take place? Why was a trip to Tucson to open to the church in the days of the messenger of the seventh angel, the seventh angel message? The whole word of God would be made manifest. The seal that what all the stock has left off, and why, and all about it, would be made manifest in this time. Is that what the word said? When we see it, then where are we at? See? Where are we at? There's only one thing. The harvest is here. She's dead ripe. She's ready now for the coming. Now, what I would like to say concerning these words, which we read from Brother Branham's sermon, The Masterpiece, this morning, is that there seems to be a common thread that I've seen in speaking to over 1,000 ministers now in 6 continents so far. And that is that the message ministers that I've met in almost every country that I visited have forgotten how to read their Bibles. In fact, I do not think they ever learned in the first place how to read their Bibles. And that is a problem in most churches. The people are not taught how to read the Word of God. In fact, I hear these words from almost everywhere that I go. After the meetings are over, generally I usually get quite a few brothers coming up to me and telling me that during our meetings they have learned how to read their Bibles. And it seems that for some reason men have forgotten that William Branham said his absolute was the Word of God. And as they will pile quote upon quote upon quote to try to justify some misconceptions of the Word or the message, and then they don't even get the quotes right. I've often said if you're a Baptist, you read your Bible as a Baptist with a Baptist filter over your mind. And so you'll see a Baptist Bible. And if you're Pentecostal, you read the Bible with a Pentecostal filter over your mind. And if you're Oneness, you read your Bible with a Oneness filter over your mind. And you'll have to skip many scriptures in order to do so. One of the things that came up to me when I was in Africa this time was the brother said that there's a real fear among the ministers to read certain passages of scripture, because they don't know how to answer it. They bypass those scriptures. Now, Brother Ram told us that the intellectual is trained to bypass the word. And actually, the way we've been trained to read for speed. And if you read for speed, you'll never understand the Word of God the way that's written. You should never read the Word of God like you're reading a book. You should never read it for speed. You should read it for the thoughts of God that lay within that word. Now, Brother Ram said that the Word of God was his absolute. He did not teach us the message from his own quotes. He taught us the message from the Bible. From Church Order, the Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, paragraph 4, Brother Ram said, it's got to come to one final absolute, and my absolute is the Word, the Bible. And as a pastor here in the church, my absolute is the Word. So you see, we must look to God's Word as our absolute as well. And to do so, we must take everything that we believe back to the Word of God. Because to add one word or to take one word as dire circumstances that we do not wish to partake in, when we read the message or the Bible or listen to a tape, we need to listen to every thought as it is presented. And if we cannot teach what Brother Branham taught from the Bible, then we should either leave it alone or we should get some help. We should search the Word of God for each thought that he has said to see how it lays within the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, to ensure that this is truly what God has intended for us to believe and to understand. Not that we should teach not that he would teach us wrong, but we might not understand what Brother Branham was teaching if we cannot line it up with the scriptures. And that is why so many have drifted off into oneness theology instead of staying with what he taught. I mean, if we believe what he said, then when he said that he's not a oneness or a Trinitarian, and that both are wrong, and that's what he believed, and what he believed is right down the middle of the road, then that ought to stop us in our tracks. It ought to make us question in our mind, well, then what exactly does William Branham believe concerning the Godhead? And when he said that Jesus is a dual being because God indwelt him, then that ought to make us back up and take another look at what the man taught us on the Godhead. And when he said that Jesus could not be his own father, and when he said that Jesus and God were not one like your fingers one, and when he said that God did not even enter Jesus until the River Jordan, and that God left him in Gethsemane so he could die as a mortal, if we were even listening to what he said, why did not that stop us right then in our tracks and cause us to investigate, what does this man really believe concerning the Godhead? Because if you have a prophet on the scene and that prophet comes and he teaches another God, then you're in trouble if you follow that man. But if he's teaching right from the scripture, then you ought to listen to what that man has to say. When a man comes with thus saith the Lord, and not one of those thus saith the Lord falls to the ground, the Bible says you better fear him. But the fact is that we have not been trained to read the Word of God to capture the thoughts of God. We've been trained in our schools to read, and read with speed. In fact, when you speed read, you don't even read every word. You just kind of skim down and you see the major words and you get a conclusion as to what you're reading. So our educational system, the way we've been trained to speed read, to read things fast. But how many of you would like to sit there and talk to your spouse, and when you're talking to your spouse, put it on fast forward? That's what you're doing when you speed read God's word. How can you get the thoughts right if you're playing it fast forward? You don't understand. You skip through things. From the Message, Uncertain Sound, Brother Branham said, "Let the God that be God speak like God. Let the God that answers by fire be God. Let the God tonight, if your system is better than the word, then let them speak and heal the sick and discern the thoughts and do what God said that he would do. Amen. If your denominational system is better than the word of God, then let them speak. Let's see them raise up a church in their Roman dogmas and so forth and produce something like Jesus Christ. Let's see them, with their dogmas, make the word live again. They bypass the word by their dogmas, their creeds today, because they're afraid to meet the issue. And they bypass it and base the people upon intellectual education instead of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of his being. Amen. Nothing uncertain about it. Try it. Certainly, it's the truth." Yes, sir. So Brother Branham says that because they're afraid of the word, they resort to education. And that's what I see everywhere I've gone. From Uncertain Sound, Brother Branham said, intellectual. They don't want somebody to really stand up and pull the scriptures out and show it. No, in fact, they call us the intellectual when we do that. But they want somebody that's trained to bypass it. They don't want to know that. Oh, they just can't stand that. Fish and loaves is fine. But Jesus done the same thing. What a wonderful prophet. The little prophet of Galilee was healing the sick, and he was a great man. But one day, he sat down and began to pour the truth to them. And the whole group walked up, and they left him. Even the 70 went. And he turned to the 12, and he said, "Do you want to go too?" That's when Peter made those most notable words, and he said, "Lord, where would we go?" Certainly. Then he began from that very hour, and long as he was healing the sick, it was fine. But when he began to interfere with their individual life, then that said something different. And from right there, his ministry began to diminish right onto the cross, and every true servant of God will follow the same example. Certainly. The people want to be padded and played with. But when it comes to truth, they don't want it. Now remember, these tapes are going around the world. Amen. And you know, I can verify that. Every time we've had something come up in here, it hasn't been the doctrine that drove people out. It's been the fact that when there's been parent delinquency or there's been parents and their children marrying unbelievers and things like that, that's what's gotten them upset. and they've left. Or somebody wanting to marry a second time or a third time or something like that. That's when the people leave. You see, Brother Branham said, when they get to messing with your individual life, that's when the people left him. Now, it's amazing to see how easy it is to understand the Bible if we just read it for what it says. I've had pastors who have been in the message for 20 to 30 years tell me that they wished that they would have had those meetings 20 years ago, because had they had them, they would not have preached false doctrine for the past 20 years. And they've told me after the meetings that they've learned how to read their Bibles. So we see that most people read their Bibles like they would read a book. And they will brag about how many times that they've read the Bible from cover to cover. And I say, when you read it that way, most likely you didn't get anything out of it. Because the Word of God is the thoughts of God written down on paper. And we should take those thoughts one at a time and examine them and meditate upon them if we are to better understand our loving Heavenly Father. One person recently wrote to me and asked me where in the Bible it says that we are new Jews. And I wrote back to that person and I said, the Bible doesn't say that we're new Jews. It says that we're Christians. And the person wrote back to me and said, of all the people I thought would have been able to tell me where it's at, you would have been able to tell me where it's at. But since you don't know where it's at, I'm going to read my Bible again. And I said, well, you do that and you let me know when you find it. And they may read from now until the rapture comes, and they'll still be reading because it's not in there. But you know, they get these ideas, they get these funny ideas, and they get these little things that they're looking for when they're failing to recognize what God is doing right now. So, I just figure that you just can't talk to those kind of people because they don't have ears to hear. They've read their Bible 3.5 times, so there. They know. And that they might have read it with their eyes, but nothing penetrated their thick skulls. So you just let them believe whatever they want to believe and forget about it. Unless God opens their eyes, they will never see what God wants them to see. And they will never, they'll just continue to look for strange ideas and silly ideas, whatever they can find to talk about. But Brother Branham is talking about how important it is for us to have all the Word. Because this is the harvest time, and he says you can't plant just half a seed and expect to harvest anything. You must plant the entire seed, and we know that the seed is the Word of God according to Mark 4 and 14. And Luke 8 and verse 11 says, now the parable is this, that the seed is the Word of God. So you see, we must come to the place where we look to the Word of God as the thoughts of God expressed on paper. And when we do them, instead of reading it like we would read a book, we will begin to look for one thought at a time, and when we read that thought, we must meditate upon it and regurgitate it over and over again in our soul. As Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born. That statement in itself tells us there's a child. If a child is born, it has a beginning. It also says that if the child is born, then someone had to carry that child. Someone had to give birth to that child. So someone had to be there before that child. How can you have a Trinitarian dogma and believe that there's a Father and a Son and say they're both co-eternal? How could that make any sense for one to be a Father, one to be a Son, but they're co-eternal? How do they work out then if they're co-eternal? Which one's going to be Father and which one's going to be Son? And then have an eternal thought? So if he has a son, he has a beginning. And if one says to the other, do this, and the other says, I can't do anything unless the Father tells me, how can they be co-equal? One is above the other. And if the Bible says that God is the head of Christ, then how can they be co-equal? They just don't read their Bible. Unto us a son is given. If the son is given, somebody had to give him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You see, if they just read it one thought at a time, read the message one thought at a time, they wouldn't be running around with all these crazy ideas. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his own thinking. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So God is saying, look, if you would just take my word and let it be sowed in your heart, it's going to manifest word. It's going to manifest fruit in your life. It's going to manifest a bounty, you see? But if you just, you know, if you just don't allow that word to be entered in, and it's not watered, then nothing's going to produce. You see, God says, it's not coming back to me void. It's not coming back to me the same way I gave it. It's coming back to me in a manifested form. The seed goes down one way, it manifests back another way. But it manifests the same life. Now, one thing that has helped me more than anything is that God placed it upon my heart many years ago to take Brother Bram's sermons one thought at a time, from the opening prayer to the closing prayer, and to take each thought that he spoke back to the scriptures, and then to find those same thoughts from Genesis to Revelations. And another thing that helped me tremendously is that Brother Bram said in his sermon, Shalom, he said, all the New Testament speaks of this hour. And in the process, I have also learned to read my Bible, because I'm looking for those words in my Bible to speak of this hour. And when you look for those words to speak of this hour, you have to read it very carefully. And you have to read it very slowly. And you take one thought at a time, and then you bring it back to this hour. So you're not reading it like a book anymore. You're not reading it like a history. You're reading it for the present tense. And in the process, as I said, I've also learned to read my Bible as Brother Branham read his Bible. Notice how that he would just read a verse of Scripture. But many times, just a few words from a verse would have such meaning that he would tarry with that thought and bring out such wonderful thoughts from the mind of God that it would just fill your soul with delight. As an example, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, and when they were come into the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactor, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And from that verse, he spoke several sermons on just four little words. There they crucified him. And he preached several messages. From the world's falling apart, Brother Bram said, so then tonight, I'm to speak on the subject tonight, the Lord willing, there they crucified him. And from the second seal, Brother Branham said, there they crucified him. There, the religious place in the world was Jerusalem. They, the most holy, supposed to be, people in the world, the Jews. There they crucified, the most cruel punishment that Rome could produce, and crucified him. What? The greatest person that ever lived. There they crucified him. From the sixth seal, Brother Bram said, there they crucified him. The Bible said, that's a four of the greatest words. Look, there, Jerusalem, the most holy city in the world. They, the most holy people in the world. Crucified, the most brutal death in the world. Him, the most important person in the world. Why? The religious people, the greatest religion in the world, the only true religion in the world, was standing there crucifying the very God that their Bible said would come. Why didn't they see it? The Bible tells us that God blinded them so they couldn't see it. And from the indictment, he said, now I want to take four words out of there, out of that reading, to base what I want to say. There they crucified him. Four words. And my subject is called, I'm bringing an indictment to the denominational churches of this day, and also many of the independent for crucifying Jesus Christ afresh in this day and indicting them. And then in paragraph 37, he said, now, them four words, there they crucified him. Now, you still show the Bible, you see, it's just four words, but the Bible condenses its truth. And I'm going to add, if the Bible condenses its truth, then that's the way we should be reading it. One thought at a time. That's why we take 150 some sermons on just one sermon of Brother Branham's. Because there's words there, there's thoughts there, they're so important that if we just scan over them, we miss these divine blessings and just these great jewels of God. He said, now me, I have to go way around and explain what I'm talking about, but the Bible don't have to explain nothing. It's just all the truth. So the Bible don't have to explain anything. It doesn't have to explain it because it's all the truth. Here is four words of its greatest chain of truth. I'll try to explain it, and try to explain it clearly would make up a library. But there's no way for me to explain these four words. But now let us, by the help of Him who caused it to be written, try to explain these four words to bring it in such a way that the people would understand it, what we got before us now. We got the first crucifixion laying before us at the most holy place, the most religious people, the most shameful death to the most precious person. Oh, it's just such a contradictory. Oh my, it's disgraceful. And from paragraph 50 he said, there they, the ones who ought to have known better. If anybody should have known better, it should have been the ministers. If anybody should have known better, it should have been the clergy of this day. If anybody ought to know, the bishops and the archbishops and ministers and the doctors of divinity ought to know different. But why can't they? Oh, what a contradiction. What have we got before us but a contradiction? They claim that they worship God and they are killing the Prince of Life. There they crucified Him. Oh, here. They, again, do the same thing. For He is the Word. And that's what, and it's only a reflection of the Word. And that's what He is today, a reflection of the Word, trying to find somebody to reflect Himself through. And as I said, when they crucify the Word afresh in this day, they're not crucifying this Bible. They all claim to believe this Bible. What they're crucifying is you. If you are the written Word, the manifested Word of this hour, teaching the right thing, they're going to crucify you. They crucify the flesh. They didn't crucify God who's Spirit. You can't crucify a Spirit. But they crucified God in flesh. They crucified the Son of God. And they'll crucify God in flesh again. They'll crucify you. If God's in your flesh. And again from paragraph 90, he said, remember, they were very religious people that did that. They wasn't outsiders. They were the religious people of that day. And that's what's doing it today, is the religious people. The same crucifixion, same thing today, quickly. There they crucified Him then. Then, sure. Then they were rejecting God's Word made manifest, accepting their creeds instead of the Word. Is that what they're doing today? That's exactly doing the same thing. He was the Word, and they rejected the Word. That's one point that I want you not to miss. I want you not to miss it. He was the Word, and when they rejected Him, they rejected the Word. And when they did reject Him, they finally crucified Him. And that's what they've done today. They reject the Word of God, accepted their creeds, and has crucified publicly before the congregations the working of the Holy Spirit. And they're guilty, and I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if we read the Bible as it says, then let's just read a few verses of Scripture and tell me how that you could remain a oneness and believe Jesus was His own Father when the Scripture speaks plainly, just as William Branham spoke plainly, that He couldn't be His own Father. From Ephesians 2 and verse 15, he says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments constrained in ordinances, for to make in Himself twain one new man, so making peace. Let me read that again. And to make in Himself of twain, of two, one new man, so making peace. Now, how can you read this statement and still be oneness and not realize He was a dual being? And to make of Himself twain, to make in Himself of two, of twain, one new man, the God-man. And in 2 John 1 and 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth. Now, how can you read this and still be oneness in your thinking? Without your oneness being a willful ignorance. You see, that's where the crucifixion comes in, is when they're shown the truth and they reject the truth because they've got their own thinking. In 2 John 1 and 9, Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And if you can't see there's two there, then you're not reading the verse. You never find them, I know Miguel, you've talked to them, you never find them using 2 John verse 9. They avoid the scriptures. Why? Because they can't explain them with their own thinking. Why? Because they're not willing to let go of their own thinking and receive the thinking that God gave us. In John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, but there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness that he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I received not testimony from man. But these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father gave me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, bears witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Now, how can you read that scripture and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness being a willful ignorance? 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Now, how can you read that and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness still being a willful ignorance? Galatians 3:20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one. So how could Jesus be a mediator if a mediator is not of one, but God is one? And if a mediator, he says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So there's got to be two to be a mediator. Now how can you read that and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness being a willful ignorance? John 20, verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go ye to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now how can you read that and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness being a willful ignorance? Mark 15:34, and at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, how can you read that and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness being a willful ignorance? In Matthew 27, verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And again I say, how can you still remain oneness in your thinking when you've got many scriptures that says that God left him in Gethsemane, just like the prophet said, when we have scripture that tells us that God entered him, God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. But just like the serpent, they take the word not, and they add the word not, and in this case, they take the word in away. Like I said, a man on the internet one time, he said, well, he's going to put me straight on the doctrine. So he put up a dozen quotes where Brother Branham said Jesus was God. But if you read the very next line in his same quote that he had posted on there, Brother Branham said, because God was in him. And they couldn't read the little word in. Now I could take any of the little kids in this church, and they can read the word in. They can tell you what it means. But we got a president that, you know, doesn't even know what was the word he used. It's all to how you define the word it or something like that. I can't remember what word it was. You know, people are crazy today. They're insane. They can't read little two-letter words. But they can sure spew a lot of four-letter words. 1 John 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What's the record God gave of his Son? If you're going to read the scripture, read it. The record is, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell.
in whom I'm well pleased. Well, how can you read that and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness being a willful ignorance? 1 John 2 and verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, how can you read that and still be oneness in your thinking without the oneness being a willful ignorance? John 8 and 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. Now, how can you read that and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness being a willful ignorance? In John 5 and verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. In John 5 and verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these doeth the Son also, doeth the Son likewise. Now I ask the question one more time. How can you read this and still be oneness in your thinking without your oneness being a willful ignorance? So you see, we could take many, many more, because over there I've given them over 300 scriptures showing the difference between the Father and the Son. You've all seen the books. How can people read those things and willfully turn it down and say, well, Jesus is God. Jesus is his own Father. The body is deity. When a prophet of God said the body is not deity. I said to the man, do you believe William Branham to be a vindicated prophet of God? Yes, I do. Do you believe everything he said? Yes, I do. Well, Brother Branham said the body is not deity, but you're telling me the body is deity. I said, you don't believe. You're an unbeliever. You're just a make-believer. I said, why don't you? In fact, I told those ministers, I said, why don't you just go out and start your own message? Disassociate yourself from William Branham because you're not teaching what he said. Start your own message. You think you got it all right? You see, this is the fact that I said, the Catholic Church claims Peter to be their pope. Peter is no more their pope than nothing. And William Branham is no more your prophet than anything because you don't believe what he taught. People need to learn to read. And when you read, you take the thought and you meditate on the thought. These are God's thoughts. Holy thoughts. Life-changing thoughts. How dare we sit there and read through it just so we can get it done? What wife would like her husband to be snoring while she's talking to him? They don't like that one bit. And God don't like it when you're snoring when he's trying to talk to you either. I mean, we're talking about the difference between life and death. We're talking about the difference between the Word alive in you and you just being a church member. That's the difference between knowing how to read, because it's God communicating with you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your Word. We know, Father, that it truly is your Word. And we've all been guilty in our lives, Father, of not reading it like you said it. But you said what you mean, and you mean what you said. And you didn't send a prophet to us to put on a show. You didn't send a prophet to us and perform all those mighty miracles, Father, to just give us a good feeling. You brought those things to get our attention so that you could change our thinking. We read the scripture that talked about the wicked man, that if he would just change his thoughts, you would be quick to pardon. So, Father, forgive us of our stupid thinking. Forgive us of our human ignorance. And may we receive your mind. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in us, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you. and give.